Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. Joining me tonight is Mike. Mike, how are you doing?
I am outstanding. I'm an engaged man. I'm an elected official. Life is great.
There you go. So what horrible fate is going to come to you tomorrow?
Nothing, man. It's Friday.
Someone will pour a cup of water on you. That's what's going to happen.
That happened today.
You're going to get spritzed.
I got spritzed today. I mean, it was cold. It was not
fun. I just got a haircut, too.
I got a haircut on Tuesday. We're all so fresh.
I literally just came from there. Looking good.
Yeah, we're all looking good. I am looking good. And also joining us is Sean. Sean, how are you doing? How was your haircut?
It was good.
On a scale of 1 to Bootstrap Bill, how Stellan Skarsgård are you right now?
I'm pretty Stellan Skarsgård because now I have less hair.
Did you go with the buzz cut?
No, I'm debating on whether I'm going to do that or not. I kind of want to try to grow a beard before I go down that road, but I don't know.
Oh my god!
It's like Lane with a beard.
That's pretty serious. The Lane beard is hardcore.
No, I can't grow that. That's far too manly of a beard for me.
Lane looks like the guy who raises bears in the woods right now.
He kind of looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback for the Jets.
He does look like him. He looks like Peter Griffin when he grew the beard and like the bird started nesting in it. That's what Lane's beard looks like right now. So, we have a good show for you tonight.
Maybe.
Who knows? I'm hopeful. I'm just an optimist, Mike.
That's you.
Yeah, I know. I'm just so positive. We're going to talk about some land. We're going to talk about some Kong. We got some questions. So let's actually start off real quick. I want to cover some of the stuff. I went down this past weekend for a quick weekend trip and crashed with Meg. And we did the Diagon Alley event with the Diz. So if you guys have any questions, just jump in. But I just want to cover some of the new stuff for me. This is the first time I actually did the holidays at Universal. So that was cool. Grinchmas is fantastic. I really, really like that show. It's well done. It's funny. It's really emotional. Everyone was into it. And it was just really well done. Also, the fact that they have Max running around is incredibly adorable and awesome.
Yeah.
So that was good. They started Twister Demolition, I believe, on the second day. So, like, Sunday, they started doing that. So
night up.
They're tearing the shit out of that thing.
Yeah, they tore the bathrooms out. They tore out the... Yeah, they started with the bathrooms, and then they tore out, reportedly, the back, that first queue area, the first queue show.
Yeah, I saw people mentioning that.
And then, so that's all going. So that looks good. I got to see the new T2 pre-show, which they already updated again. So they
did
got,
you see? Wait, which one did you see?
I saw the current. I saw not the the. I didn't see the old new one. I saw the new one.
Okay, so without the Genesis.
Yeah, without the Project Angel and without the Genesis. And also they redid it again. Like, they updated the music and added some jokes back in and changed the pacing. So it felt more like the old one, but still still updated, if that makes sense. So it doesn't feel as weird. And I forget if the old new one still had the menacing music at the end. I felt like they got rid of it and put something a little more...
No, I think it still had the Terminator theme. Yeah.
Well, they still have that, so that's good.
That's good.
So I really liked it, and it still had the same general flow as the old one, as opposed to the old new one, which they tried to do different stuff with, what's her face, whose name is escaping me right now.
Kimberly Duncan?
Yeah, with Kimberly Duncan.
Super. God, I love that pre-show.
That's one of the greatest characters ever created in a theme park is Kimberly Duncan. the show was looking good, but the audio levels were a little off. It sounded like one of the speakers blew or something, so that was weird. We also had a few other sound issues. We had Gringotts, one of the rides. Some of the special effects and sounds wasn't working on one of the cars, which was weird. What else? I saw the Macy's Parade twice. That was good. I saw it in New York, and then I saw it in front of the Horror Makeup Show. There we go. The Horror Makeup Show. That was really good, but they need to improve their parade management quite a bit. I said on Orlando United, like, we just had, like, people who would see, like, an opening and just barge, like, all the way across as quickly as they could. So, whatever. What else was there? The Diz Diagon Alley event was good. We got all the unlimited ice cream and drinks we can have.
Okay, Joe. So, what's your favorite ice cream flavor now?
I still don't know. I had the, God, which one did I have? I had one that had, it had, like, pieces in it of something. I had the chocolate chili, and then I had something else. I forget the other one was, but that one was really good. And I had, and they all also offered them all in waffle cones for free. So that, I was like, waffle cone? Of course. And then all the drinks, they were serving them in the souvenir mugs. And you got to keep the souvenir mug.
It's crazy.
So, you, like, Meg had three new souvenir mugs, and these people were just collecting them left and right.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I would have told you to get me a butterbeer. God damn it.
I'm sorry. That I was kind of, I was on a nut. You see, I tried every single one of the drinks that night, had a butterbeer, had butterbeer ice cream, and had ice cream. So, I mean, if you can just listen to Derek's
tweets. Were you on a, like, when Bart and Milhouse drink the super squishy?
Yes, just like that. Or I was comparing it to when Fry had the 300.
Springfield!
Exactly. I was so, thinking, like,
butterbeer ice cream's still terrible?
Butterbeer ice cream's fine. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's just fine.
The problem, it just doesn't taste enough like butterbeer.
I thought it tasted more like caramel than it did butterbeer. I don't know. Maybe that's because I was already, like, had enough sugar in my system to kill an elephant or something.
Yeah.
I would say my sugar high was more akin to the 300 cups of coffee fry more than anything. I saw all of time and space at once, and it was glorious. There you
go. That's a good one. Yeah, that's also good. Good macaroni shout out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you, like, the peach drink was good, you said.
The peach tree fizz was good. It was like a an unsweetened tea.
Ooh, you liked that?
It was like an unsweetened tea that had the sweetness from the peaches. I thought it was good. It wasn't something I'd normally get, but it was good. I had the tongue-tying lemon squash, which was good.
That's the only... Mm-hmm. Normal drink that I like.
I already had the fishy green ale, so I didn't get it again. I had a butter beer, of course.
Yeah, the fishy green ale is fucking good.
So I tried them all. They were all really good. Ollivander's was great. Meg finally got picked for the wand show.
Whoop, whoop.
And what was great was that he looked at her and she's like, it's like, you've been waiting a long time for this. And we all laughed because he's meant it as in, oh, you're not a kid, so you've probably been waiting for your wand. And all of us were like, yeah, she's been waiting forever because she stood outside for 3 weeks waiting for this place to open. You know, that kind of thing. So that was really funny. And it was amazing seeing everyone leaving Ollivander's, like, just with the boxes and just going right to the register with, like, a death grip on those boxes. So they're making bank. And also, pro tip for anyone who goes to one of these events, get the ice cream as soon as possible because that was the longest line all night, including Gringotts. And also, if you want drinks, don't go to Hop and Pot, don't go to Fountain of Fair Fortune, go to Leaky Cauldron. Leaky Cauldron had no wait. We were standing there talking with the bar staff and just ordering drinks. We're like, oh, we want this one now. Okay, here you go. And we're just, like, shooting the shit with them and drinking. It was great. Like, no one was there. And there was massive lines at the other places.
Lightham and I talked about that because that was one of his complaints from his trip, is that he didn't even know about Fountain of Fair Fortune, but I said it's the same kind of thing where you wait in line, like at Hopping Pot. But Hopping Pot's out in the sun and all that stuff. But I was like, oh, yeah, but you can probably go to Leaky.
Uh-huh.
So I think that might be like a Diagon hack.
Yeah, you know, well, but Leaky only...
As long as it's not peak eating time.
Well, not only that, Leaky works the best when it's these events. Otherwise, the other ones are probably faster. Because they can get you drink as opposed to having to wait. Because, I mean, Leaky is more designed for food, so it takes a while. I've done that before. That's the reason. I did that when I was getting Fire Whiskey.
I still think they need one more beer and butterbeer kiosk somewhere in that land.
Yeah, you were mentioning.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, those two locations are just slammed all day long.
Yeah.
And you forget about ice cream. I mean, I guess if you really want ice cream, you just got to suck it up and wait.
No, there's
ice cream. See, here's the thing. The ice cream has a long line, but it moves really fast.
Okay. Give or take, yeah. I mean,
I've never all like, their I've lines waited are fast. Outside and never had to wait more than like 5-10 minutes to get to the front.
I would say, well, here's another thing, is at Hop and Pot, they had a team member there who was directing people to open cash registers. So they had all of them running, and yeah, that line didn't go bad. That was pretty good. But yeah,
I find that people get to registers and they just like lose their mind and know what they're doing.
Yeah, and also they also serve the butterbeer ice cream at Hop and Pot.
Yeah, they've always done that.
Yeah, so I forgot like if that. No one's mentioned that. Anyway, so that was good. That was a fun time. We were the only ones on like Hogwarts Express, the only people on that whole train was this compartment of six people. So that was a blast. What else was there? So that was the event. The event was really good. Only negative I would say is they had a damn DJ in Carket Market, and right after Celestina Warbeck, he started like playing Hot Black Eyed Peas. And it's like, no, stop, you no bad, stop it, stop it, stop it. And then just like, and then we all looked at Meg because they had like a bunch of tables and like a temporary bar or two set up in Diagon Alley. So we were standing at the, you know, those kind of, you know, waist high tables where you can set your drinks, and we just all look at Meg, and she just has the biggest eyes of, I need to get out of here right now before I kill someone. So that was good. And once we got out of Carket, you didn't hear the music at all, which was kind of weird, but whatever. So we did that. The only thing I want to touch on also is food, because I went to Breadbox for the first time, and Breadbox was really good, like surprisingly good. I got the BLTA, which is the bacon, lettuce, tomato, avocado, and it was served, the bread was great, it was really fresh, and the fries were the best theme park fries I've had in my whole life. And nice. They're like the fries that, like, it seems like they batter them a little bit because they're extra, like, ridgy and kind of coarse on the outside as opposed to, like, a McDonald's french fry.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And they're perfectly seasoned, and they were steaming fresh. Like, just like they came out of the fryer, but they're not too oily. And it was, like, nice. Meg and I were like, this is really good. And Meg was not happy with how it was the first time. So, and it was reasonable. My sandwich was like $7.99 with fries. So, the only thing that would make it better if it came with a drink, but whatever.
Well, that doesn't happen in theme parks.
No, it doesn't. But you know, it was good that they're offering the fries now, because before those were a la carte also. So the value meal proposition's good. By the way, do you guys hear a train outside?
No.
Okay, good. Cause there's like this giant train going past my apartment, so that's good. I also tried Hard Rock. We got some appetizers there for future Saturday Six articles and for the 25 drinks of Christmas. And I tried the appetizer sampler. They're Hard Rock appetizers. They are what they are. And we also did Cowfish, and we got and split the cow has left. The cowfish has left the building, which is the double-decker peanut butter and banana burger. I had it. It was good. We all kind of split it, and it tasted okay. It was definitely unique, but it worked, and I thought it was pretty good. So,
yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's so much better things at Cowfish, so, for what it is. Then we went to NBC Grill Brew for lunch on Sunday. And I actually got to eat there. I had the Bang Bang Chicken, which was good. The only complaint I had was that there's not enough chicken, and it was pretty heavy on the coconut. But otherwise, it's delicious. Those cheese curds are amazing. Those are the best appetizer there.
Cheese curds are always a good choice.
These were like exceptionally good. The artichoke dip was really good. The pretzel, I've had better pretzels, but it was still really, really delicious and fresh. And plus that stadium mustard dough. Yeah, yeah. And then also, it was how many of us? It was like seven of us ordered the banana pie, not the banana pie, the banana cake.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the apple crumble. So I tried the apple crumble, which was really good. It was diced apples in there, which is a little different, but it was really, really good. And then we tried the cake, and it was delicious. Meg said it was better than the first time she had it. It didn't taste off. It didn't taste different. It tasted moist. It was very good. It was delicious, and we had so much left over. We gave it to the Jets fans next to us who were partying or whatever. They were there drinking, watching the game. So people who say who go there and watch a game, those people did.
And they were Jets fans.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, or something. Yeah, I think it were Jets fans. I forget. It was something like that. And then we just kind of gave them the rest of the cake. And we're like, here you go. Don't kill yourselves on it. And it was basically the whole back part of the cake with all the icing. So they just ate that and they had a good time. So that was a blast. Had a ton of fun. I'm trying to remember if there's anything else. I have a black pearl now, so I'm happy. Unfortunately, I had to drink that drink. That was disgusting.
Oh, so bad. It's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, and I put my fraternity brother in the sinking seat. So that was pretty fun. He got
Does
into
only
that.
Only one of them sink?
Two of them sink.
I was gonna say
two sink at the longboard and two sink at the bar.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That was a good time. I had a blast there. Trader Sam's was fun. But yeah, I'm trying to remember if there's anything else. I think that's about it. So segueing in, I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago. I think it was last week, right? No, yeah, last week, last Tuesday, I believe.
Yeah, no, it was the week before.
Okay. No, it was last Tuesday. Yeah, because I was doing interviews. It was last Tuesday. They had the council meeting to approve Skyplex, which was approved, and also during that event, they were leaked out of Universal having the option on a contract to buy 474 acres of land north of the Orlando Convention Center. The Orange County Convention Center, Sean? Which one of those?
Yeah, Orange County, it's called.
So that is interesting. So do we want to kind of... Does someone want to kind of get into the history of that land and kind of what's been going on with it?
Yeah, it was originally like a Lockheed testing site. And Universal bought it when they were under Vivendi. I think, or maybe still MCA. I don't remember. I think maybe when they were under MCA.
Or Seagram's, I think, maybe.
No, it was. I think it was before Seagram's.
And they sold it under Vivendi, I think.
Okay.
I think that's what it was.
How the fuck did Seagram... Anyway.
Well, I don't know. If you read...
It's still such a weird...
If you read the amazing book, Disney versus Universal... the story of a theme park's greatest rivalry by Sam Genoway from the Unofficial Guide. You'll know.
You quit hogging all the books, Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
I bought that one by myself, sir. I bought that one.
Fucking Seagram's. All right. Anyway,
and the trackers currently have my Disneyland book, so can't say I'm hogging all the books. Anyway, sorry.
Then when 9/11 happened and Universal Escape was a terrible, terrible failure. Vivendi sold the land to a developer, which is still the biggest mistake that's ever happened with Universal. Luckily, Comcast, thank you, based Comcast, has come and rectified the situation. They have put a contract on this land, the promised land, and we're getting a fucking third park. Yeah, everyone's going to be like, oh, it's not official yet, but fuck you, it's happening.
Yeah, this was interesting because it leaked on a website and then was asked at that council meeting. And Universal had no comment, but the council was saying Universal was looking at that property. Which...
No, the council said Universal told them that they have a contract on the land.
Okay, there we go.
That's what they said.
And yeah, somebody confirmed it. They just didn't confirm what it was for.
Yeah. And that's right. And that's was interesting to me because I think they're – and I want to just touch on this real quick. I think it was interesting that how Universal was going against the Skyplex to the point where they sent out flyers, but they never really kind of showed up to this meeting. So to
false
me –
false flag attack. I'm telling you, man.
I think it was a – okay, you guys approved it. Here are our concerns. You can't, you know, say, oh, well, the lighting pollution, we won't let you do it, or something like that. Also, I think by releasing that info about the land, that kind of counteracts Skyplex's comments on, you won't see it from Diagon Alley, kind of thing. Well, it's like...
No, I don't think they cared at all about that.
Well, I'm not saying about Diagon Alley. I'm saying they'll care about this new land.
I don't think they care about that either.
Oh, really?
I'm telling you, now they have carte blanche. I said this in a text thread that we've been in. They can do whatever the fuck they want to do on that land. And there's no precedent to stop them.
Yeah.
None. Yeah. They can do whatever the hell they want to do. So, and if someone says you can't do that, they're going to go, fuck you, look at what you did to us. And everyone's going to be like, well, you're right. There's going to be absolutely no way they can be stopped.
They're...
The best part is, Skyplex isn't getting built.
Well,
wait, what?
Mike said that they're not. Skyplex isn't getting built.
I mean, it's still not definite. They're just allowed to build it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, yeah, they are. Again, for Skyplex, they have the approval to build. It's just, you know, actually building the thing now. So, yeah, anyway, I that's all I want to touch on with the Skyplex and how that happened and kind of how that plays into this new land, because that's interesting because, you know, now that they had this approval and they had this kind of this push against it, this light push against it, now it seems like they can do whatever they want. So right now it seems like Universal has the land at their current area. They have Wet and Wild, and then they have this new expansion plot. And the expansion plot has, I think it was like one, maybe like, it was like 300 acres or so that's all together.
Okay. So yeah, that's what we'll comment on that. There's, the land is not all together. It's 450 plus acres total. But like, the biggest plot of land is, it's over 350, or like around 350 acres. Right next to that, there are two other ones that are about 20 each. So like, all together, there's around 400 acres that can be all connected. And then there's like little plots here and there along Universal Boulevard and stuff like that that are not connected to the land. Which we can each do a theory on what we're going to see on these lands, you know, if we want to. But so yeah, 400 would be where they're really going to develop the bigger stuff that will come with this. If I say if, but it should be when they buy it.
When the sale's official and final.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is where I'll point out that Islands Adventure and USF are both around 105 acres each.
Yeah.
Just as an idea, so. So Mike, do you want to kind of postulate kind of what we could see happen on this land?
If fun stuff.
Wow. Okay. Sean, do you want us to talk about this?
Yeah. I mean, I think, so this has been brought up before and we kind of heard maybe the Wet n Wild plot would have been this. This was before we knew about this land. But we had heard that maybe they were looking to move some backstage stuff off property. And we had heard they might have used some of the Wet n Wild plot for that. But now it makes a lot more sense that if they're getting all this land, that they might stick any offices and stuff they want to ditch on the current property onto one of these little plots that really have no connection to the... where they'll be putting new resorts and hotels and city walks and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's going to happen. I think they're going to move some of the backstage stuff. And so, you know, that will allow, when the time comes, they can expand studios and IOA even more. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, I mean, the big plot is going to be, it's going to be Park 3. People are like thinking it's not going to be a park. And I think they're absolutely crazy. Like, they're not buying 400 acres for not a park. Come on.
or two, possibly.
No, I don't think two. I hope not. Three, like, two is a good number. I think two is the best number, but they do need more space, so I'm fine with them doing this and getting three. But, like, I don't know, four worries me. Disney can't handle four, you know?
Yeah.
So... let's take it one step at a time. Maybe another water park over there. Maybe. But I don't think they would do another full theme park. So I think it'll... that the big spot with, like, the, you know, close to 400 acres. I'm going, you know, 3 or 4 resorts, a city walk, a parking garage for day guests, and a park.
Yeah. And resorts.
I said 3 or 4 hotels.
Oh, 3 or 4 hotels. Sorry. I was spaced out clearly. And
Wet Wild's going to be, I think, resorts.
Yeah.
Maybe one. Maybe like two towers, but like one resort, something like that.
Yeah, I could see that. Or, yeah, I could see that and kind of making it so like you'd kind of pull in and there'd be like a little mini area so you don't actually have to leave to go on iDrive. I mean, I agree that like the little remote plots of land would probably be where offices are and, you know, like the more administration stuff and Universal Creative, they can move there. And also like you have stuff like this is our staging area for, you know, construction. Well, that can be moved off site now. All of a sudden now you have this giant area next to Men in Black that you can use. So that I imagine there'll be stuff like that. How do you think that they're going to connect this land to the main resort campus? Because that's still like a mile and a half away or so.
Buses. Yeah, I don't think anything else is going to happen.
You don't think they'll do a monorail or some light?
No.
Why?
I don't know. It's really expensive. I don't, again, this is all like, who knows what the zoning is with the city because they don't own all this, you know, area. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of red, you know, a lot of hoops and red tape, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I don't see it happening. Be cool. I'm not going to say it wouldn't be cool, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah. And also it's going to be hard for them to build the land. Like they're going to have to go over a highway. They're going to have to.
Right.
Do a bunch of random stuff that just, I think it's going to be an issue. They have to buy the land rights too, and it'll be a pain. I just don't see buses as a very economical way of doing that.
I don't know what else they're going
to
do.
Well, and also you're going to have to really expand your transportation hub. That hub area is going to have to, they're going to have to do something with
it. Why? You're only worrying about on-site guests.
Yeah, fair enough.
Everybody else, if they're driving in, they can drive to the other park.
Or between the two parks.
Right. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Even like, you're only worrying about busing people from your resorts to the new area.
And I imagine stuff like Portofino and those guys, they'll just bus from the resort itself.
Right.
As opposed to, okay, I could see that. But wouldn't there want to, I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think out loud here. Okay. So, I'm just trying to word this. What's the layout going to look like? Like, do you think this will look similar to what we already have at, you know, in City Walk and the Islands of Adventure and Studios, or are they going to develop something different? Like, what are you thinking about?
You go first, Mike.
It's going to be like the original Epcot in concentric circles.
You think?
Yeah.
Huh.
Really took off the fanboys.
They're also building Western River Expedition in the third park, didn't you hear?
It's true. And the Adventurers Club. And Horizons.
And the Snow Queen ride.
Yeah. And Tony Baxter's, what was that, Discovery Bay?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Journey into Imagination. They're just building all the old great Disney rides.
Tomorrowland and 2055.
No, fuck Captain EO.
Okay, we're not getting into the Captain EO conversation. We're done.
Okay, I think it will be... All right, this is going to be hard to explain.
Okay.
I think it's going to be kind of like City Walk, kind of like the setup now, except City Walk's going to run right into the area for the new park, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a resort at the entrance of the new park. They're going to build a resort into the park like Tokyo DisneySea as the Hotel MiraCosta or Disneyland Paris as the Disneyland Hotel.
Okay.
I really think there's going to be at least one of the resorts built into the park infrastructure, like those parks.
Okay, that's cool.
And then there'll be water around the park, and the other resorts will be on that, on like, kind of like the moat.
Hmm. Okay.
Like, you won't be able to see the other resorts from in the park, but there'll just be water going around. There'll be a lot of water. Lots of water.
Disney Seas.
I honestly think it's going to be something very similar.
Huh.
I don't know if it'll be on the same level. This is just, and again, I have no inside information whatsoever. We have none on this. I'm just guessing, and I think it's going to be, they're going to just rip it off. And it's going to be something very similar in tone, in setup and all that kind of stuff.
Scope, stuff like that. Okay. Yeah. I could see that working. I just don't know, really. It's they can do pretty much anything they want.
We have no clue.
Yeah, they can do whatever the hell they want. What was interesting is they had a survey that went out about CityWalk offerings. And some of the options on there were interesting, like about nighttime shows and holiday events. So maybe that CityWalk kind of becomes more expanded or it has a nighttime show or something.
Good.
I
think the original CityWalk's set up for a decent nighttime show if they could design a decent nighttime show.
Yeah, that's another issue for another time. Well, I mean, yeah, it is set up for a good nighttime show. The problem is that's a transportation hub right there.
Yeah.
And you really can't do that. So it's not like you can put the spaceship or like the Illuminations barge out there or something. Plenty of seating, though. I guess the next question is, what are we going to see from the park itself?
Well, I've already tweeted out my guesses.
Which are?
Legend of Zelda.
For the whole park?
No.
Oh, I'm trying to. Okay, let's start off real quick. What's the overarching kind of theme slash maybe even a name idea for the third park?
It's going to be fantasy based. It's going to be rural type settings.
Okay.
Again, these are all guesses. Not rural or like olden time settings.
Universal's rural kingdom.
Rural drawer.
Rural kingdom.
And lots of water.
Lots of water. You think they'll have Lord of the Rings?
Yes. I think that's going to be the cornerstone property.
Lord of the Rings, Zelda.
It's going to be Lord of the Rings, Legend of Zelda, Pokemon, a horror-type themed land with Universal Monsters. And, like, other stuff, maybe like Scooby-Doo or something like that for the kids. And I honestly think Amity.
Really?
Yeah. 100%.
It would fit into Universal's rural kingdom.
This is just me spitballing, but I think they would do that.
Huh. Okay. I was thinking it. Like, I had two ideas I had. One was something along your line, Sean, but it was like more like the original concept for Animal Kingdom, and it would be more based on, like, it would be more about not animals itself, but just kind of the wild and nature and stuff, and not nature per se, but nature as in sort of like how they had Beastly Kingdom and Dinoland.
Right.
That kind of thing, where it's kind
That's kind of similar to DisneySea, though.
Yeah.
So we're kind of thinking the same thing.
Yeah, something along that line. And I was thinking maybe even Mystical Beasts.
Oh, God, yeah, Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, Fantastic Beasts, sorry.
That was one of mine. Yeah. I can't believe I brain farted on that. But yeah, I think that'll be part. I think that and Lord of the Rings will be the cornerstone properties.
Yeah, Fantastic Beasts would be, and it would kind of fit into that kind of, you know, and the idea is, like, if Islands of Adventure is about travel and, I mean, it's about travel and exploration.
Literature.
Islands of Adventure, let's be real. Islands of Adventure isn't about anything.
I know, but they kind of hold it together using that.
Yeah.
And then the Studios Parks is the Studios Park. So my idea on this one is sort of like, you know, kind of like, our relationship to, you know, kind of to the wilderness or something, or to the unknown, I guess.
Yeah.
And that would kind of tie into the horror, like the idea we had for the horror area would be like Transylvania kind of village, where the outskirts are where you see the attractions and the shows, and that's where the people, you know, talk in whispered voices about, you know, don't go into the forest, you know, that kind of thing.
It'd be so good.
So, you know, so I was thinking something like that. Another idea I had was something more along the line of Universal Classic Monsters and stuff, and also being more like the Universal Classic properties, with that 1930s hotel being the cornerstone of the entryway.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, that'd be cool, but that would never happen.
Yeah, it's also harder to market, because it's like, welcome to our new theme park. It's full of things that are over 30 years old.
Yeah, that won't happen.
So... yeah, so I don't know. I just can't imagine that working out. But it was just another idea I had when I was kind of thinking about old ideas that have been tossed out and new ideas that they want to possibly go into. Mike, what are your thoughts?
What was the question?
What do you think the park's going to be like?
Just like the other two parks.
Water in the middle.
Yeah.
You're so talkative, Mike.
Seriously, Mike.
I'm exhausted. I'm tired.
Oh, yeah. What are we gonna do with you? Yeah. So, is there anything else we want to add about the third park or the extension of the land or anything like that?
No, I think we've talked.
It's just exciting.
Yeah, it's still not technically has happened. The land, but it sounds like it's definitely going to. It rectifies the biggest mistake of the Dark Ages, and it's very exciting. And I will say, I put this flag down on Twitter, on my private Twitter, but I'll put it down here. I think this happens a lot faster than anyone thinks it will. Not the land purchase, but like another park.
Yeah,
I'm putting that flag down. That 2021. At the latest, 2022 is when we see this park open.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
I think 2021 is a good bet. Get it open for Magic Kingdom's 50th, so you can have a new park to go with, and Magic Kingdom will probably have one new attraction. So I don't think that's a bad idea at all. So recently some new info came out about Kong. They added the doors.
Yeah, the doors.
The doors are new. I saw those in person. Those are badass.
The same day as the land.
Yeah.
News.
And Skyplex.
The second biggest gate announcement that day.
Yeah. So I saw those. They were covered in tarps, but they were testing them, and they opened pretty quickly.
I didn't see you say that.
Well, they were testing them on Saturday sometime. Oh. I forget when. But it was just... they were opening and they're like, they weren't even fully opening and closing them together. They're kind of like pivoting them slightly at different intervals just to test them that way for clearance, I imagine. And then later on, they were working around the hinges and stuff so they can get clearance and all that stuff. But they're wrapped up right now. They're massive. They are huge. They look awesome. And in addition to that, King Kong is now on site. Reportedly, along with all the ride vehicles. So I imagine I imagine they placed the ride vehicles in the sound stages, I can guess. Well,
theoretically, they could be in the maintenance bays.
That's true.
Yeah, there's no reason why, especially if like people are saying they're testing them in the building, you know, they're probably in the maintenance bays.
Yeah, and then King Kong is either fully assembled in there or is being assembled.
Sounds like he's in the process of being put together.
Insert tab A to slot A in all these little boxes, and all they have is to assemble him are a bunch of wooden dowels and a Allen wrench. You get your Kung from IKEA.
Your Kung.
A lot of Swedish meatballs, too. But
it's actually what he's filled with. It's going to smell really bad.
Just it's a Longaberger sauce or whatever. Longaberry berries in the sauce.
Yeah, that's exciting. And like we all assumed, Creature Technology is doing it. They're the people who've done the Walking with Dinosaurs show and the
How to Train Your Dragon show.
How to Train Your Dragon show, which looks so cool. And Universal, just give all the money to DreamWorks to get that. Like, just a shrunk it. You know, it doesn't have to be the full show. Just get part of that show and replace Sinbad with it, because it'd be so good.
That'd be a good place to put it too.
It'd be so good. Ugh.
And then, what else? And then that. And also, they did the Kong Broadway show.
Yes, yes.
They did Kong for
and
that.
And did you see? Apparently, they're doing some like Jurassic World exhibit for a museum in Australia, and they have a badass T-Rex animatronic.
Nice. I think I saw a video of that. Looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's badass.
So, I'm pumped for Kong.
So pumped for Kong.
I think we're still looking at probably June official opening. I'm taking a wild guess because I imagine they want to have
I'm guessing May.
Well, I mean, I think they'll have it open before June. I think, but again, like, just like what they did with Diagon Alley, I think they're going to do the whole entire new restaurant and City Walk, new resort, King Kong, you know, media event. And do you still think they'll have Hulk open by summer?
Oh, yeah.
So they'll do Hulk, too. Yeah. Hulk, Kong, all that stuff.
Hulk's still just a roller coaster, you know?
Yeah.
But as long as they can get it built.
That's my question, yeah. They need to get that built.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, so I think they'll do like a media event in June about it. But if you want to like get on the ride, they'll probably be able to do it come May for sure, at least.
I'm saying softs April.
I don't think that's out of the realm. I think that's very possible.
I mean, if they're testing.
Well, they still have a lot of exterior work to do. That's the problem.
Yeah, but
like that.
All the important stuff is on the inside. Like all the shit that will like delay the ride is on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, the outside's just like finishing up. There's no moving pieces on the outside. There's not a huge animatronic and all that kind of stuff on the outside. I'm not denying that they have a lot of work to do, but
yeah, they have. I mean, they haven't even finished you know, that little wedge building. Like that still hasn't been.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
There's like dirt still there, so they need to do that. So, I think that's the cue though, so take it for what it's worth. But yeah, that's Kong. Anything else with Kong?
No, I think we're good.
We're good? Cool.
Go to questions?
Yeah, let's go to questions then. We asked for your questions. Yay! So, start off with the NJ Brandon. Will Secret Life of Pets be greater, or greatest?
It'll be lots of fun in Hollywood.
Yeah, it'll be. I mean, we know it's coming to Hollywood. So
do we? It's coming. Like, people are like, oh, it's only going to Hollywood. When has anything only gone to one side?
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. And then sooner or later, it'll come in some version to Orlando. So
it's going to come to Orlando.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'll come to Orlando like a year later. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Mike?
Yo.
What are your thoughts?
I think we'll get it.
Okay. Well, do you think it'll be great, greater, or greatest?
I think it'll be better than Antarctica.
You're setting that bar real low, Mike. Real low.
That's all it needs to be better than.
Yeah. Next question. The Tim Tracker asks us, what are your thoughts on the misting fans in lines at the parks? Mike?
I am thumbs down.
Really?
Yeah. It's unnecessary. Who wants to get wet? It's ridiculous.
I don't know. We had a pretty fun time with the water park day, water ride day, during Halloween Horror Nights. That was amazing. That was amazing.
I almost rode Jurassic Park. I thought about it. And then I saw how wet people were getting. I was like, no.
I thought about it.
It's not a lot of fun. If they just let me off at the top to drop, it'd be great.
Have you guys seen the Universal fans that are like the jumbo like jet engines with the misters on them that they wheel around?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they use those when they have the Tonight Show. So I just found that interesting. So, yeah. But yeah, I guess they're okay. They do what they need to do. I'd rather be in air conditioning. Don't know what else to say. From YoPolyNJ asks, what's the most overrated counter service at Universal?
What's that one that Bergen freaks out about? Blimpies or Wimpies?
Wimpies.
Blimpies. No, Mike, Blimpies is a sandwich shop in the north.
I don't know. I feel like most of them are bad, and like the good ones are actually good.
That's the big issue. Like Monsters Cafe, you know, those kind of places. Yeah,
I'll go Three Broomsticks. Because I don't think the menu's as inventive as not inventive, but as
diverse,
good, yeah, as diverse and interesting as Leaky, and I don't think the food's as good as Fast Food Boulevard.
There you go.
But it's still fine. There's still really nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest weaknesses that Universal has is their counter service stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Is pretty meddling outside of Fast Food Boulevard and the Potter stuff.
Yeah,
and that's something that they really need to focus on, and I think that's something that Disney does very, very, very well.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a weird thing where it's not like Disney has a bunch of overrated counter service places. So.
Oh, well, they do.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. They do have a bunch. So.
Yeah.
Sorry if I didn't say that right. Mike, what do you think?
2 months ago, I would have said Fast Food Boulevard, but now I'm a big fan. So. I think they're all. I haven't had a bad. The only bad meals I've ever had were at Fast Food Boulevard, so I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, well,
you know, I think Leaky and Three Broomsticks are a bit overpriced, but that's just what it is. And I mean, if you're willing to walk a little bit, you just go get a good meal at City Walk for the same price
or cheaper.
As most counter services. So, I mean, whatever.
Or you go to Mythos and spend like a dollar more per plate.
You're at a theme park.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I mean. As long as the food's hot and you don't get sick, I mean, it's fine.
What about Thunder Falls Terrace? Overrated?
I haven't eaten there. I've been in there.
It's pretty good. It's very similar to Three Broomsticks.
Yeah. And also, I mean, yeah, it's just, it is what it is, so.
It is what it is.
Yep. Next up, the Tim Tracker again asks, why didn't Disney get more movie used props for Launch Bay, Star Wars Launch Bay, which opened recently?
Because all they used were screens.
With the Star Wars Launch Bay with dejected Chewie.
Chewie, yeah. Depressed Chewbacca. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't understand that one.
I just think it's because that they want J.J. Abrams wants a tight control on pretty much anything.
Oh, fuck J.J. Abrams.
Oh, no, totally. It's total bullshit. But I bet he's just like, I don't want any props in there right now. So
he's been passing the blame off on Disney. He said Disney hasn't wanted to advertise a lot and say a lot of stuff about the movie.
Then I don't know what else to say besides that Star Wars Launch Bay is just a half-baked idea that was then half-baked again. So, I mean, that's what it seems like.
It's ugly looking, but whatever. Who cares?
Yes.
I'll complain. It still makes me wary for Star Wars Land when I see stuff like that. But I'm not really gonna complain about this until they fuck up, you know, unless they fuck up Star Wars Land, and then I'll fucking complain.
Don't you want your dark side burger or whatever?
Oh my god, the black bun. Does that one make your poop green like the Burger King one?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what it is with Disney and their black buns, but yeah. No, there's that. At least we didn't get the curry pizza that they had out in Disneyland, which I hear was atrocious.
Oh, that actually sounds offensive.
No. It's terrible. Listen to Dave Doubt had it, and it was all disgusting. And the problem was is they just lumped all these curried vegetables and stuff that don't go together very well. Terrible. They just put it right on top of their regular cheese pizza.
Ew.
Exactly.
Ew.
So that's the problem.
Ugh.
Okay.
I need another beer after thinking about that.
Yeah. Ugh. Next up, the music review asks, advice for touring Disneyland for 2016/ best time to go. Early exception for...
Expectations
for Secret Life.
Just listen to the Tracker episode.
Yeah, listen to our last episode, and also Secret Life of Pets we talked about in that episode, too. So
And this episode, too. Like, literally 2 minutes ago, Joe.
Oh, yeah, 2 minutes ago. Yeah, that one.
I don't know. I really liked Christmas time at Disneyland. I wasn't on the Tracker episode, so I'll just say that. Yeah. I like Christmas time. So, like, maybe early Christmas time before, you know, the peak crowds start to get there, but
definitely I whenever I go during the holidays, I always go like the first week or two in December, and I've always had a good time, and I really like Christmas there. Very, very nice, especially if you can get some of those candy canes. Those are delicious. Next question is less of a question, more of a statement. Tim Tracker says, if I buy Joe a Darth Vader outfit, will he take a picture at Darth Vader meet and greet a la Dr. Evil and Mini-Me?
I'm just thinking about it in my head. Oh, I really want to do that now.
I hate you guys so much.
I love you, Joe. But did you see his next tweet?
No.
Tim then followed up with, that last question was mean and I feel bad. Oh.
That's great. Mockingjay, OU Mockingjay on Twitter asks, what is your favorite traditions or ritual that you do every year for the Christmas holiday?
We make beignets Christmas morning.
Oh my God, I'm coming to Mike's house for Christmas morning.
That sounds delicious. We actually have two. We have, in Italy, they have a tradition where they have either the seven fishes for seven deadly sins or 13 fishes for Jesus and the 12 apostles. And we make seven different fishes on Christmas Eve. So we have like anchovy spaghetti and fried oysters. And well, no, the idea is that
oysters aren't fish.
Well, no, exactly. We expand the definition of fish. But we got kind of creative over the years once people stopped. You know, like when my grandparents passed, there's like two extra mouths you don't have. So
right.
What we did, we were like, okay, well, we're going to do seven fishes over the whole day. Or there seven creatures of the sea. So it's like, here's your appetizer. Enjoy your clam chowder and shrimp cocktail.
Here you go. Here, enjoy your dolphin.
and then we'd have like anchovy spaghetti and fried perch and salmon and all sorts of delicious stuff. And then my other one is oysters, my dad makes panettone French toast on Christmas morning. Do you know what panettone is?
No.
Guys, it's like, imagine an Italian, but really good and light fruitcake. So it has like fruit, it has like raisins and all sorts of stuff in there, and we just make French toast out of it, and it is absolutely delicious.
Sounds good.
And of course, watch the Disney Parade. Yay!
I haven't watched the Disney Parade in a long time.
Yeah, well, I try to watch it, but I wake up at like 10:30, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
so
I'm an adult now.
I don't know why they do it so early.
Yeah, seriously. I don't get it.
Because anybody, the target audience should be doing Santa Claus stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. We have my mom's side of the family over on Christmas Eve every year. We used to go to my grandma and grandpa's house, but they kind of live in the hood. They do. They kind of live in a terrifying neighborhood, and I wish they would move, but they won't.
They're those old people who refuse to move, and they're like, they're like what's his face from Torino or whatever was it?
Yes, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood.
And we also kind of outgrew them. There's too many kids now. So we do it at my mom's house now, and we just do like pizza, and like my grandmother makes chocolate chip cookies, like hundreds and hundreds of chocolate chip cookies, and she, you know, we exchange presents and all that, and then I come home to my place and I watch Mystery Science Theater 3000, Santa Claus, and Santa Claus versus the Martians every New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve.
Santa Claus is the one with the devil in it, right?
Yes.
Oh God, that movie.
Yes.
And then and versus the Martians with Drobo.
Yeah, Droppo.
Droppo. Droppo.
Droppo.
Yeah. Droppo. So. Oh God, those movies are terrible. Oh, and the opening to Santa Claus is so racist.
Oh my God, it's the most racist thing. Oh, and I just love how they don't even like comment on it. They're just all in shock as they're watching this unfold.
Yes. Yeah.
And then Christmas Eve in Vashti, which is plantation country along River Road. There's it's along the Mississippi River. It's where all the plantations are. And here we have levees. You probably heard of those.
Yeah. And, yes, we know what levees are, Mike.
Yeah. Well, you know. And then tradition was the residents of the area would build bonfires along the river to give Santa a lighted path to the homes there. So people still do the bonfires. They make really elaborate ones. Like they'll make like a battleship shape one, all kinds of different shapes. And they also light fireworks. So it's a pretty impressive sight to go
That's
see.
Cool. That's my really cool.
My grandfather lives over there.
That's really, really cool. And,
yeah. People are crazy, but it's cool.
Should be
like you can't even drive along the levees because the traffic is just jammed up. People just driving by.
Nice. Also, the only other tradition I have is that we have a brewery up here called Thirsty Dog, and they sell a giant, you know how they have those novelty champagne-sized bottles?
Yeah.
They sell that with their Christmas ale barrel-aged, bourbon barrel-aged. So I buy one of those, and we open it on Christmas Day.
Oh, that reminds me. I need to get some Krampus this year. I haven't gotten any Krampus,
Krampus.
Yet.
Krampus. Did you see that they're coming out with a new double IPA in 2016?
No. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, they're coming out with a new double IPA. I forget what it's called. It's like two... I forget. Hold on. I'll look it up.
Oh my gosh, just, all the hops.
Victory just came out with a new IPA.
Nice. Let's see. Let's see
it's
if
called,
I
can... Quad something?
I'm gonna brew it in the spring.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm gonna wait till I can design my own recipe for that. But I just got ingredients the other night to make the White House honey porter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that tweet.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
Hoppy quad. That's the
I'm not a huge fan of quad beers. I don't know. That's just me, maybe.
It was really good. My friend had it. I also had Celebration last weekend. Celebration 2015 is awesome.
Nice.
Celebration, I think, is my favorite beer.
Mm. I like Celebration a lot. I really do. It's a really good beer. I'm trying to find this. Is this a seasonal? See, I'm trying to find this one beer. What is it called? You know what? I haven't had any 2Xmas this year. I need to get some 2Xmas. So, the new beer is called 2X Smash, and it's a double India Pale Ale, and it's single malt and single hop. And it has hammers on it. 2X Smash is the newest in our line of single malt and single hop India Pale Ales brewed with mosaic hops and special pale malt. Even simplified to one variety of hop and one type of malt, this is amazing how complex the flavor is.
Hops.
Okay, so they suggested pairing with roasted chicken, smoked brisket, sharp and blue cheese, and very sweet desserts like creme brulee. Not the beer,
no.
Creme brulee.
No. No.
Why no, Mike?
No. It just doesn't seem right in my head.
I don't do hops with dessert.
Sweet. Yeah, it's just not right.
Did you guys see the world's hoppiest beer from Dogfish Head?
No.
They most beers are like, I don't know, like, let me pull this back up.
Yo, dog, I heard you liked hops. So we put hops in your hops in your hops.
Yeah. Actually,
so you can hop while you hop while you hop.
So they have
hop.
I forget what they're called. I think it's IBU, International Bitterness Units.
Yes.
For like bitterness of beers. So what they had was like most beers, like most Bud Lights are like a 6 or a 7, and most like pale ales are like 20s, and maybe an India Pale Ale would be like a 30 or so. This one is 653 IBUs.
What? Yes.
So,
have you ever seen when Homer and Marge go to the candy convention?
The Venus.
And he puts the world's most sour ball in his face.
Yes.
I just imagine that's the face you would make if you drank that beer.
They make it using like concentrated and condensed like syrup from hops. Not even pellets. It looks like it. I'm pretty sure, like, you know how they make like spicy curry, like they have to wear like eye goggles and gloves. It's shit like that. So they actually I'll send this video to you guys after this, but someone drank it and they were like talking about it on like one of these like YouTube video series, and they tried drinking it and it like was like getting a punch in the chest.
Yeah, I can imagine. I bet it's disgusting.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, continuing on. From OU Mockingjay again asks, which 2017 attraction do you think will get done first? Fallon or Fast and Furious?
No, night up for Fallon.
Fallon, no, like not even close. I think Fallon opens at like the beginning of the year that year.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay,
because they're gonna be hurting. I wouldn't be surprised if they somehow got Fallon open by the end of next year.
Yeah,
like just rush the shit out of it, and not necessarily grand open, but like
Mike, we can hear that.
I think he's doing it on purpose.
Clearly.
Like, because they're going to be hurting next Christmas.
That's true.
Hurting. They're going to need it.
Yep. The music review again asks, if an illumination... Oh, this is worded weirdly. I think he means if an Illumination movie replaces Toon Lagoon, should they create a new Despicable Me / Minion attraction and clear the way for a new Universal Studios Florida entrance?
Yes, and I actually think that's going to happen.
I think that's a great idea.
I think that 100% is going
to
happen.
And you don't
have
to change the name. Just keep Toon Lagoon. It fits perfectly. Yeah. And you can also still keep Dudley and Popeye. Just get rid of the whole entire comic strip cafe stupid thing in that area. Or get rid of Dudley. Who knows? Gen Tracker wants more questions from fans, like last week's podcast.
I still haven't listened to that.
Yeah, we had a big sidebar discussion about fans.
Yes. And how she nearly got murdered by a fan when she was sleeping once.
Yes.
Man, I wish I was there for that week.
That was a good one. Angus asks us, or Aegis, or whatever. I'm going to call him Angus.
Angus.
I'm gonna call him Angus, like beef. So we are hearing that some cast member experiences are going on at Potter West, yet the date is April. What the heck is going on? So I guess this is new that they're testing out with cast and stuff.
What the heck is going on is you should look at the soft opening schedule for Hogsmeade in Orlando that had like 3 months of soft openings before it opened.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I thought it was like a week.
No, it was way
more. It was more like a month.
It was like a month and a half, at least.
Well, here's the thing: is like that one, they had those packages they sold.
Yeah.
So, excuse me. So, they were soft opening for those packages, but then they close immediately.
You'll be in Potter West before April.
I think you'll be in Potter West before most of those annual passes expire.
Yes.
So I think there you go, and I think that's the last question. Yeah. And that's all the questions we have.
It's been real. It's been nice. It's been real nice.
It's been really nice.
Jeez, Mike.
Now it's time to go watch Survivor.
Ugh. I didn't know Mike was a 45-year-old woman.
Yeah. Mike
you
likes...
just don't even know.
Mike just likes terrible TV. Just like he likes terrible Marvel movies. He's like Drew. Like
No, Mike doesn't like terrible Marvel movies. He just doesn't like the good ones.
Mike is like,
I just don't like Guardians. That's it.
Yeah, which is a great movie.
No.
You're right. It's not a great movie. It's an amazing movie. It is a perfect movie in every way.
I don't know about that one.
Okay.
I wouldn't go that far.
So where can... you guys are still blocking everyone, so I'm not going to ask you where to find you. If you need if you want to listen to us, just go to Parkscope on Twitter. You can find me at Parkscope Joe on Twitter. Nick is Parkscope underscore Nick on Twitter. We're at Parkscope.net.
He doesn't have the underscore.
Does it? No, mine.
No, I have the underscore.
You have the underscore. I forget. I don't know. Yeah, leave us a review on iTunes. I haven't checked those out in a while, but be nice. We had a one recently that was kind of weird. Like the guy like wants to move down to Florida because of us now.
Which is weird.
Don't do it, guy.
Yeah, you may know.
It's like a huge mistake.
It's like the one.
Unless he's like opposite, man, and like he does the opposite of what we say, then definitely move there. Because if you want to move there after listening to us, you haven't been listening close enough.
Or it's one of those things where it's like it's like the anti-cigarette ads just want to make people smoke more. Something like that, I imagine.
Sometimes I feel bad about how much I bash Orlando because we have like pretty good friends there, but oh my god, don't live there.
So yeah, there you go. Yeah, we'll see you guys soon. I think we have one more episode this year.
We have
one more this year. I think next week, but we'll release it during Christmas week.
Yeah, and we're hoping to get picked up again for next year.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be picked up.
We're hoping the ratings are good enough.
Hopefully we get our extension into the season. We'll be a mid-season replacement next year. No, we're going to have one more episode with Seth Kabersky.
Oh.
So yeah, there you go.
Check me out on the Light Him and Hyde podcast where I actually did talk.
Yeah, for some odd reason, Mike never talks on this podcast. And it hurts my feelings. I'll be slightly honest.
Oh, Joe.
It hurts. Joe, everything hurts your feelings.
This is also a known fact. Everything hurts my feelings.
When the sun rises tomorrow, Joe's feeling will be hurt.
Yes. Thanks, Mike.
How dare you, son? Shakes your fist at the sky.
How dare you get up on time every single day?
Old Joe yells at Cloud.
Someone Photoshop that, please.
All right, y'all. Love everybody. Hate everything. Conclusion. Good night.
Peace.